Welcome to another inspirational message from Gateway Life Church. We're so glad that you've joined us and trust that this podcast will be a blessing to you.
So, word in season number one. Listen to his voice and not the voice in your head. The voice in your head is an isolated narrative. Do you know that? The voice in your head is an isolated narrative. Just because you think something, it doesn't mean it's true. In Proverbs 3:6-16, this is a Message Bible translation. It says, listen for God's voice in everything you do. Everywhere you go, he is the one who will keep you on track. Not your own thoughts, but he is the one that will keep you on track. Run to God and run from evil. That's word in season number one. The command of God's word, church, is our confirmation. There's no other confirmation needed for us in how to live except the command of God's word. And today I have another word in season for you that is the definitive answer to every problem that you have. Do you believe me? She's like, well, she sounds a bit on herself. What's she going to say? Do you want to know the answer to every trial, every test, every challenge, anything and everything that you come across in life? Here is the definitive answer for you and I. It is this. Trust God. Trust God. Proverbs 3, 5 and 6 says, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. Psalm 13, 5 says, I have trusted in your steadfast love. Psalm 40 says, blessed is the one who makes the Lord his trust. And I also have a scripture that I felt that God give me to speak over us as a church. It's from 2 Corinthians 5, 17 to 21. And it's for such a time as this that we are living in. It says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he or she is a new creation. The old things have passed away, and behold, all things have become new. The old has gone, some translations say, the new has come. And I don't know about you, I think so. But 2020 has certainly already been that kind of a year, hasn't it? I know I am not the same person that I was at this point in the year that I was at the start of the year. And I had no idea what was ahead. Everything that we know has had to change. It's the end of the world as we know it. You know that song? And I feel fine. That's never been a more appropriate song. You know, the church has had a good 2,000-year run, don't you think? The church has been going on the same route, the same, been done the same way for 2,000 years. That's a pretty good run. However, God wants you to know that whatever is happening in your life right now, he is using it to prepare you for your future. God always removes in order to replace. And you know, even with the church being very different, isn't it? It's very different. And the truth is it won't be the same. So if you're sitting here or you're watching online, I'm sorry to disappoint you, but we may never gather in the same way that we did prior to COVID. It's the way that things are. But that doesn't mean, I want to challenge some of you, that doesn't mean that we still don't stay planted. Now listen, I'm like anyone else. I like watching messages from other churches, other movements across the globe. It's awesome. And we have that wonderful privilege of doing that online. But that doesn't mean that I don't stay planted at Gateway. It doesn't mean that I don't still give my tithe at Gateway. It doesn't mean that I still don't want to come and serve at Gateway and be encouraged and encourage others. We need to stay planted even though we can't always be in the building. Sometimes we are, sometimes we're watching it online, but we stay planted in a particular house of God that God has called us to. And it's very important. And if you're watching online and you haven't set foot in the building since March, I would encourage you to register and come and be a part of the church where you can. Just think for a moment about the life of David from Scripture. If you want to read more about his life, it's found in 1 and 2 Samuel and through the Kings as well. His life is a great example of God's processes. Firstly, David was a shepherd boy. He was out protecting the sheep. And he was in the middle of nowhere and it looked very insignificant. But it was during this time that he learnt, as we know, how to fight the lion and the bear. And then that stood him in good stead for then eventually having to fight and kill Goliath, the enemy of God's people. Pretty amazing. After that time, there was on another occasion, he pretended, if you read through the story of his life, and I haven't got that time today, to be a crazy person. He actually pretended to be mad, like he was losing his mind, in order to survive. It was self-preservation. He then, later in life, ends up befriending Jonathan, who is the son of the king, King Saul. And it was during this friendship with Jonathan that he learnt the ways of a kingdom. He saw the inside of the kingdom being friends with Jonathan, and he learned many valuable leadership lessons. It was said of David in the Bible that he faithfully served God in his generation. Hopefully that will be said of you and I, that we faithfully serve God in our generation. And he is one of many biblical examples of God directing people's and our lives, directing steps and ultimately using everything for our good, to our advantage, for his purposes. Be confident, church, of that God's purposes never lead us nowhere. We're not on the road to nowhere. We're not on that road. God's purposes always lead us somewhere. You know, world events and life surprises aren't personal. Don't take them so personally. The Bible says that the rain falls on the just and on the unjust. The part that is personal is our responses and the choices that we make. You know, I had the dog attack, and, you know, it's not the first time it's happened to me. And, you know, I could start thinking, and I was, like, okay, you know, I could have a certain view about it and start to get really fearful. Or I could view it as an opportunity to grow and to learn something. I learnt patience, sitting at outpatients. And actually, the really exciting thing was, the synchronicity that happened out of that, was Pastor Jace had been thinking about a mate of his, weren't you? God had put this guy in his heart. Well, guess who the ranger was? That guy. And Jason got to have a great conversation with him. And, you know, I just saw the purposes of God even in something like that that happened to me. So I would encourage you that there's always things to learn. I got to meet some new, beautiful people at the end of our street that eventually, after a very long time, came to my aid after I was screaming like a crazy person for help. But these are the things that happen in life. But our choice and our responses are the personal part. So don't allow yourself to be offended by trouble. Consider it all joy, the Bible says. There's a goal. Because it's in our daily living that we get to actually apply the Word of God. Otherwise, it's just a really good theory, isn't it? Otherwise, the Word of God's just a really good theory. Oh, yeah, that's a good theory. Or that's a good... I've forgotten the word. But it's where we apply it. And I have actually a prophetic word. This is funny. So, you know, cutting and pasting on the computer, I literally cut and paste with my notes. I have things sticky taped together. I have a prophetic word if I can actually... There we go. There it is. I have a prophetic word that I felt... Alyssa, I don't know where you are. Oh, there you are. I felt that God wanted me to remind you that what you're going through and what you've been through already, and even what you're waiting to go through with your back and everything, it's just a chapter of your life. It's not the whole story. And everything you've already been through and are still going through, know that God is setting you up for your future ministry and your future effectiveness. I know you already know that. You're going to have great understanding and empathy and compassion, and your compassion for others is going to go through the roof because of what you have endured. And God is using that to your advantage and to others' advantage, who people you haven't even met yet that you're going to impact, but all that also already right now. And also, I just felt a word of encouragement from Matthew 6:33 for all those, our single people, that are waiting perhaps for a partner or wanting a partner. Just to remind you that the Bible says to seek ye first the kingdom of God and all these other things will be added. What are these other things? Well, a life partner or a partner are some of those other things. So I wanted to encourage you for that, that you're not supposed to force it or get impatient or run ahead of God's plan, but release your desires into His divine hands and timing, and keep getting on with what's in front of you. Just keep getting on with what's in front of you. The present moment is your gift right now, and God is looking for that return from you, if you like. So our lesson is to not be resentful or discouraged at the moment, for God is preparing us, church. I love this scripture in Proverbs 15:24, and it says, it's so beautiful. It says, the way of the righteous winds upwards. Isn't that beautiful? It winds upwards for us, always winding upwards. So in any moment of anxiety or uncertainty or worry, the scriptures tell us, and Jesus tells us in Psalm 46:10, to be still and know that I am God. Be still and know that I am God. It is this stillness that causes us to know that what we choose not to do is equally as important as what we choose to do. We get that in the stillness. In the stillness. In 1 John 4:17 it says, because He is, so we are in this world. It's wonderful, isn't it, to know that? To know that when God does not judge us or measure us by today, our performance today, but when He looks at us, He sees Jesus. It's like the nature of Christ is superimposed. It's like a blueprint over our lives, and that's what God sees. I love that. When we allow this truth to permeate our mind and our heart, then we can truly be the light and the salt that we are called to be in this world. In the stillness, to be still, I like to call it the power of the pause. The power of the pause. The power of the pause gives us this space, this ability to reframe our view of any situation facing us. Because if God is truly, as the scripture says in Romans 8:28, if God is truly working all things for my good and for your good, then you and I can be truly at peace with anything that comes our way, especially anything that's challenging. Because if we believe this scripture is truth, then we will also believe that whatever is happening, that it's sent to teach me something, I'm going to learn something from this, there's something maybe I need to see, there's an area I need to grow in, whatever it is, in order to be more Christ-like. You and I, if we believe this scripture, we will believe it's reminding us again to come back to that place of being still and knowing who is God. He is God, I am not. And I come back to that place of that trust. We're believing that all things are always working together for me and for you and not against us. We trust in God's divine plan for our life, regardless of COVID-19, regardless of anything else that comes our way. And that's a very liberating place, don't you think? I think that's one of the most liberating revelations that we can get, because that way nothing will trouble us for very long. We can understand that God is working all things and all things for my good, for my benefit. I believe this is the peace that surpasses all understanding that Philippians 4:7 talks about. Because that's not logical, is it? That's not a logical thought process when something is going wrong, that, oh, this is working for my good. But in that scripture in Philippians, it says that this is the peace that surpasses all natural thinking, all natural mind thought processes, isn't it? Because that's not a natural mind thought process. But that's what the peace of God brings us. It goes beyond our natural understanding. And friends and people around us might say, what? Aren't you freaky gad? Or this is happening, that is happening. But we come back to that place where we don't have to get upset or vindicate or justify ourselves or ask, why is this happening to me? It's funny, isn't it, how we can be the greatest cheer honours of other people who are going through things. But when we go through something, we go, why? Why is this happening to me? I was like that with a dog attack. It was so funny because I had my hand like this because my finger was split open because I got bitten and blood was going everywhere, and I'm walking the dog. I still had to walk home yet after it happened, and the people came and helped me, and I'm going, why did I go that way home? Because I changed my route. I normally have a particular route with the dog, and I changed my route. I went against my gut instinct and I took a shortcut. And I'm going, why did I go that way? It was pretty funny if you'd seen me. I wish someone had filmed it. I must have looked like ridiculous. But we can remember the power of this pause, that God is always with us. I'm good. I'm well. All is well with me because God is with me. You know, what you and I do today, the choices that we make today are a gift to our future self. They're a gift to our future self and they're a gift to the future generations. This is the principle of the law of sowing and reaping that the Bible talks about, isn't it? That what we do now, it actually does matter because we will sow what we reap. We will sow it. We will reap it. Another word in season, hopefully there's been some already. I love this statement, is to grow through the dirt. Isn't it interesting? This fascinates me. Maybe it's my small mind. But that the dirty soil contains nutrients that the flowers and beautiful flowers and plants need to grow so beautifully and healthy. It's really quite astounding when you think about this dirty dirt that nourishes the beautiful flowers and the plants. And also the beautiful butterfly. You think about the beautiful butterfly must first enter the darkness and the stillness and the confinement of that cocoon before it delights us all with its beauty. Just think about that for a moment. It's quite profound how in nature we can see the principles of life and how to live. God is so beautiful like that. I want to read something from Khalil Gibran. He writes, "It is said before entering the sea, a river trembles with fear. She looks back at the path she has travelled from the peaks of the mountains, the long winding road, crossing forests and villages. And in front of her, she sees an ocean so vast that to enter there seems nothing more than to disappear forever. But there is no other way. The river cannot go back. Nobody can go back. To go back is impossible in existence. The river needs to take the risk of entering the ocean, because only then will fear disappear. Because that's where the river will know it's not about disappearing into the ocean, but of becoming the ocean." I love that. Surely that is something to ponder about our faith in Christ. And our fear of what we might lose, but really we're not losing anything to follow him, to be connected to his presence. You know, church, I believe in these days that we're living in, God is asking us to untether our souls, to untether our lives, cutting off anything unnecessary. Do you know, like the hot air balloon, for the hot air balloon to rise, it doesn't need more hot air pumped into it. It just needs the tethers to be cut. It already has the air that it needs, but it can't lift until all the tethers are loosed, and then it can rise. If the current restrictions that we're living in have taught us anything, it is that point, that there are so many things that we thought we could not live without that actually we can. Jesus says we must be willing to die ourselves to ourselves to be born again, to be reborn in Him. And I believe, I don't know, this is something personal that I'm sharing with you, but I believe that even means for us letting go of who we think we are or who we thought we were up until this point, because maybe that's not going to work for us anymore. And maybe it was an incorrect perception of who we are. To become a new creation, to be born again for these new days that we're living in. To be born again. The baton of faith is in your hand, whether you realize it or not. And I want to ask you, are you on the track? Are you ready? Are you starting running to pass it on to the next person? Or are you sitting in the grandstand? Unlike the Olympics, where only a few elite can compete, the race of faith is open to anyone. The choice to stay in the race or to compete is an individual's responsibility. So I would encourage you, don't just take a selfie. Don't just take a selfie at the event, but actually be in the race. I love the story. I'm coming to a close real soon. I love the story of Saul's conversion in the Bible. It's so powerful. Remember Saul's conversion? It was life-changing. One moment encounter with God changed his life forever. If Saul can go from darkness to light in a moment, in one encounter with God, how much hope that should give us, church, who already believe. Anyone at any moment can be changed and transformed through believing and following Him. And I'm not only referring to salvation, but to being more like Christ, more Christ-like. So that as He is, as we read that scripture, so are we in this world to whoever we encounter. My final scripture is found in Isaiah 6, 1 to 8. I love this passage. It's a powerful way to end the message today. And if you remember nothing else, remember this scripture, this verse. It says, and I'm going to paraphrase it. It says, in the year King Uzziah died. Now, the word Isaiah means strength. Isaiah was writing about King Uzziah because it was a sad thing that this great king, this king of strength had died. It was a sad day. And he was saying, and I want to paraphrase it, in the year King Uzziah died, in the year of the coronavirus, in the year of COVID lockdown, I saw the Lord sitting on a throne, high and lifted up. This is your God, church. Think about this. And the train of his robe filled the temple. And above it, seraphim, each one had six wings. With two wings they covered their face, with two their feet, and with two they flew. And they cried to one another, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full." The whole earth, church, in the middle of COVID, is full of his glory. And the posts of the door were shaken by the voice of him who cried out, and the house was filled with smoke. And so I said, "Woe is me, for I am undone. I am a man of unclean lips." This is Isaiah writing. "And I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. For my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts." And then one of the seraphim flew to me, having in his hand a live coal, which he had taken with tongs from the altar, and he touched my mouth, and he said, "Behold, this has touched your lips. Your iniquity is taken away, and your sin purged." And I heard the voice of the Lord saying, "Whom shall I send?" And the voice of the Lord is still saying that to us. Whom shall I send? And who will go for us? And I said, "Here I am, send me. Here I am, send me." And he said, "Go and tell the people." What a powerful passage. What a powerful picture of our God, of your God, church. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. And through this passage, we see Isaiah. He sees the Lord. He listens to him, like that clip we saw in the beginning, and he responds. God bless you, church.
God bless you.
Thanks for listening to this week's message from Gateway Life Church. For more information, please visit gatewaylifechurch.org.au. God bless and have a great day.